Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting fills and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
And good morning, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch, powered by Green Legion Radio, live here at Philly Sports and Social, down here at the new Philly Live Casino in South Philadelphia, where right down the street at Citizens Bank Park tonight, the rubber match between your Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets. And I'm looking for more bad blood this week. 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, 104.1 in the Trenton area, WDAS AM around the rest of the Delaware Valley. Or you can download the iHeartRadio app and listen to us anywhere worldwide. I am Chris Sack, and I am sitting alongside my co-host, Phillies broadcaster. I love hearing that. Greg Murphy. Murph, what's up, man?
I'll tell you what, Sack. Here's what I'm tired of hearing this week. The rubber match. Every other game is a rubber match with this team. Can we get a streak going in the positive direction? A win one, lose one is not going to get it done in this NLE. So hopefully the Phils can right the ship tonight and start to build on something. Something.
The best part about it is, Murph, is nobody has hit their stride yet in the National League East. We're still holding down first place.
Yeah.
For as bad as things have been, they've been that bad for everybody else.
That's a good point. And it is, we're in the second month of the season at this point. You know, May is here, and you're right. You know, no one, if you look around the NL East, no one has really taken hold of it. They say you can lose a division in April. You can't really win one. Well, no one went out and won this division or lost this division in April because everybody else is playing just as poorly. So I guess if you're looking for a silver lining, there it is.
And piggybacking off of last week, for those of you that were that tuned into the show, we want to do another segment this week of Ask the Show. And not only is it Ask the Show, we're going to have a Life Advice with Murph segment, which was which piggybacks off of last week, Murph, when I was talking about how I was a little tipsy on that Friday night, talking about Rhys Hoskins on my Facebook page, and then he goes ahead and he hits 3 home runs over the next 24 hours. So Life Advice with Murph is just what the doctor ordered for most of you. So you got about 20 minutes to get your questions in for both of us, or if you have something that you need that's really just like grinding your gears and you need some help in your life, Murph is here to guide you down the right direction.
That's I have so many sound clips I could use right now.
And as well here, right now, to make a couple special announcements for Green Legion Radio, is our unruly house guest coming back in. You guys haven't heard him since our first show, but Craig Quimby Chinaski is here to make a couple announcements about Baseball Brunch and Green Legion Radio. Go ahead, Q.
I appreciate it, you guys. First of all, where the NL East hasn't hit their stride and can't figure out how to consistently win, the Green Legion has never lost a tailgate. And in that respect and in that comment, the announcement that these guys preluded to this week, it's time for actual Bud Light Baseball Brunches down at the ballpark. What does that mean? Our first real brunch with Murph and Sack live on air will be May 23rd. That is Sunday, starting at 9 a.m. when the Phillies take on the Boston Red Sox. It's hosted by us at the Green Legion. It's located on the patio of 1100 Social at Xfinity Live. If you don't know what that means, Murph and Sack will be on the outside patio on the corner of 11th and Patterson every Sunday starting May 23rd from 11 till noon for the rest of the season. And once a month, you can join them on the patio for the live broadcast of the show, all while enjoying unlimited scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, biscuits and gravy, chicken and waffles drenched in honey or maple syrup, pulled pork, skirt steak, all the rolls, bagels, muffins you can ask for, with all the cream cheese, jellies, and butters, and assorted fruits, yogurts, granola, all while enjoying unlimited stateside vodka drinks, mimosas, and Bud Light Michelob Ultra and Bud Light Seltzer drinks, and a craft beer to be named real soon. This brunch goes from 9 until 1, so the show is dead in the middle of it, and only costs $60 per person. Go to greenlegion.com to purchase your tickets. We will have one a month for the rest of the year. May 23rd, the Red Sox. June 13th, Sunday against the Yankees. July 18th against the Marlins. August 15th against the Reds. And depending on the NFL schedule, we'll let you know what the September game is. It could be either the Pirates or the Rockies on the 12th or the 26th, I forget. It's one of those two, the second or fourth Sunday, whichever one the Eagles aren't playing at home, we're going to have that on.
Sounds like fun.
Space is limited. We only have spots for 200 people right now until they increase space. So your first Boston Red Sox baseball brunch, Bud Light baseball brunch, it could be limited. So get there to greenlegion.com right now. Purchase your tickets or call the office if you have any questions, 215-666-5940. On that piggyback, real fast, after this show is over, make sure you stay here with us for another 2 hours, baby, because Green Legion Radio is going to completely analyze this horrific third-day draft and first and second-day horrific. We're going to get into it.
That was foreshadowing of your thoughts on the draft.
Yeah, in case you guys are wondering where the route I was going to take. Now, on that note, I'm going to pass this back to you guys, and we have a Bud Light baseball trivia question for a ticket giveaway by Murph, but I have a quick question for you, Murph.
Fire.
So on social media, you posted, that's your son that qualified for Olympic trials, huh?
That's right. Yeah, very exciting day for us.
That brings up two distinct points about the Murph family.
Uh-oh.
There's at least one athlete there.
Yeah, that's about it.
And you are really freaking old to have a son that...
You're accurate on both of those accounts, and God, I am old. But I'll tell you what, it was an exciting day down there. He qualified. He's been he's 19. He's been working on it for about
a year. You have a 19-year-old son.
I have a 22-year-old daughter. I am that old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, Quimby, real quick for these Green Legion trips, too. Are we able to give out your cell phone number just in case they have any further questions?
Sure. Absolutely. Right, there's nothing I love more than that.
Not a problem. All right, so I'm going to go into my cell phone here, but we have the trivia question right now with Murph.
Guys, I'm out of here.
We do. But, hey, Quimby, just before you go, I just want to let you know, you had me at Jelly's. When you said the Jelly's were going to be there, I was like, well, I got to be there.
I could see it now. And, Murph, what do you think about that? Hold on. Yeah. Let me finish chewing.
Let me spread the jelly on my toasted bagel here. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Hey, yeah, we're giving away some tickets, and then we're going to get into some good Phil's talk. But we like to give away the tickets. So three tickets to Tuesday's game, May the 4th, 7:05 against the Milwaukee Brewers. Aaron Nola going to be on the mound for the Phillies in that game. That should be a good series. This Brewers team is a good team. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Answer the trivia question by following the Green Legion Radio YouTube channel or the Green Legion page on Facebook and our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Here's the question. On September 30th, 2007, I remember that day, the Phillies completed their comeback from 7.5 games back with 17 to go to win the National League East title for the first time since 1993. Phillies closer Brett Myers recorded the final out by striking out which Washington National player?
That's a good one. It's one of my favorite names ever.
Yeah, it's a great baseball name for sure. So make sure that you get your answers in. Tickets, three tickets for the May 4th game at 7:05. And Zach, now that the business is out of the way, man, oh man, this week was just kind of
But I'll tell you what, it was feisty for sure.
Feisty,
and that's where we're going to go to out of the box. Jansen, are you going to play the fight music or not?
Maybe the fight music is there. It is.
There we go. What I wanted to have played wasn't able to be played, Murph. But we can piggyback off of this right here. And absolutely. Jansen, thank you so much for the delay on that one as well. Fantastic job. Rough week for the Phillies here, Murph. I know, it's been rough from the standpoint of the standings here. 3-4 this past week. They didn't get the rubber match against the Colorado Rockies, who were the worst team in the National League last Sunday. Then we had a great game on Monday night between Zach Wheeler and Adam Wainwright, a throwback special, 2 hours, 22 minutes, pitching duel. Wainwright had a complete game, and Wheeler pitched into the ninth, and then Neris made it interesting with the ball at the wall off of Arenado's bat. We won't talk about Tuesday, but Wednesday's where it starts to get a little dicey for the Phillies, because not only has it been rough in the standings, it's been rough in the lineup portion. Not only are we missing Gene Segura in the lineup right now, we missed Didi Gregorius for a couple games. He wound up on the COVID list. We got him back on Saturday. But the big reason why Wednesday was not so much fun was because of what happened with Bryce Harper in the sixth inning. We had Genesis Cabrera, Cardinals reliever, came in the sixth inning, and let's just put it simply here, he could not find the strike zone.
Say the least.
Yeah. So what Harper had said is that he read up about Cabrera is that he likes to throw a curveball 60% of the time on his first pitch. So he wasn't necessarily expecting that ball up as high as it was to going towards his face.
Yeah.
He immediately removed himself from the game. He went to the hospital. CAT scan showed nothing done to his face. He has a little bit of soreness in his wrist. Hoping to get him back tonight on Sunday Night Baseball against the Mets. And then the very next pitch was a 94-mile-per-hour fastball to the ribs of Gregorius. And then Girardi goes off. He's flipping out. I don't know if he threw out the umpire or he wanted to throw out Cabrera. But nonetheless, he got tossed from the game. And from my standpoint, from what I saw on social media, Murph, and I want to get your opinion on this because, you know, this is fantastic stuff. What did you feel about their retaliation or lack thereof? Because, you know, the very next batter after that, McCutchen puts him up 4-3, and you want to hit the next batter. You want to see some carnage, some bad blood going back towards the Cardinals' way that game. But it just, in my opinion, Murph, it wasn't the right time. It didn't fit. Yeah. It didn't fit exactly what we were looking for. I mean, you just took the lead, and all you do is you hit a guy, and then it gives them momentum, and the next thing you know, they hit a two-run shot, and they have the lead. So what's your opinion there?
You know, baseball forever has been a sport. A lot of sports are, but baseball, they police themselves. And for whatever reason, Major League Baseball, league-wide, has kind of gotten away from that over the last five, six, 7 years. I think what we saw between the Phils and Cardinals, it was exactly the way it's supposed to work. And to your point, no, it was not the right time at that moment to retaliate in that game. But what I saw the next night out of Hector Neris was one of the best and most professional things I've seen from this group of guys in a couple of years. Neris knew exactly what he had to do. Now, he hasn't said that he did it on purpose, and that's...
Nor should he.
Nor should he, because that'll cost some money out of the back pocket. But I think what we saw was a team that is going to fight for one another. It is a team that's going to stand up for one another. You hit our best guy, we're going to hit your best guy. And even in the situation that Neris found himself in, that was a tight game as well. And he took the chance to put a guy on and then got the next guys and got out of that game with a win. I don't think it could have played out any better. It would have been the wrong decision to immediately retaliate in that first game Wednesday night. They waited till the moment was right. They waited to have the right guy on the hill to do it, and Hector Neris. And you know what? I think all you have to do is look at what the Cardinals manager, Mike Schilt, said after the game on Thursday night. He said, I think both sides handled this as well as it could be handled.
I agree.
And I agree, too. It's the way it should be. Let these guys police themselves. Get these umpires out of the way. You know, if they had...
Out of the way.
Well, that's a whole other story.
Are we preluding to something else here, Murph?
But here's, you know, this is... If they had retaliated on Wednesday night, they're going to lose a guy, and he's going to get suspended for a game. Because warnings had been issued on both sides at that point.
Which was unfair, and I think that's...
Totally unfair.
I think that's really what sparked the ire of Girardi.
Yeah.
And really, in reality, like, some people were saying it was gutless, the fact that we didn't hit the next batter the next inning. Like, I'm sorry, hitting Tyler O'Neill, no offense to him as a Major League Baseball player, it does nothing for me. It's eye for an eye. If you're going to hit one of their guys, you have to hit Goldschmidt or Arenado.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do it later in the game and give them momentum towards a comeback. They did the right thing. Neris got the first and the second out. He got Goldschmidt out the very next night in the ninth inning. And, you know, say what you will. There's nobody on base. Arenado's at the plate. This is the perfect time to beat him, because if someone's going to hurt you, at least let it be the next guy and not be Arenado.
Yeah.
So if you're going to pitch around him and walk him anyway, at least let the next guy kill you. They handled it professionally. Yeah. They handled it the right way. And I looked at it, it was gutsy. It was not gutless, because they went on to win that game and set themselves up to win the series the next day with their ace on the hill, with Aaron Nola on the hill. And, you know, it was handled the right way, Murph.
Yeah, anyone who thinks that they didn't do it the right way or was gutless doesn't understand the way baseball has policed themselves for the better part of 100 years. So, I liked it. I would have been upset had they not retaliated the next night, but they did. And you know what? It was good. And one of the things I like best are the comments that were coming out of the clubhouse over the next couple of days about how important it was for all of that to happen and how hopefully it helps galvanize this team, because those kinds of things can happen in a Major League Baseball clubhouse. So it remains to be seen. There were more fireworks later on in the week. We're going to talk about that as well. But it was a good start to get these guys together and hopefully start to get things moving in the right direction. because right now I'm getting tired of being on this seesaw, quite frankly. I'm afraid someone's going to get off on the other side, and I'm going to come crashing back down to earth, and I'm going to find ourselves in third or fourth place looking up in the NL East.
Well, you know what's funny is through the first four go-arounds in the rotation, the Phillies were 1-7 in starts that were started by the fourth and fifth starters. This week, the last five games, we've won two out of the five, and the two games that we won were started by Vince Velasquez and Chase Anderson. And you didn't get a win out of either of the big three. And Aaron Nola pitched pretty well on Thursday, not well enough. You know, Roman Quinn back at the wall, pretty much drags the ball over the fence and with a three-run home run, and the Phillies fight back. And I've seen that a lot this week, Murph, with this lineup. For as bad as it has been, for as bad as it has looked when you haven't had the big bats and Gregorius and Harper and Real Muto out there, they have scratched and clawed, and guys like Bamboo, Brad Miller have stepped up. We're still waiting for Matt Joyce, but Bohm at third base, he had some hard luck the first three games in St. Louis, and then the bat the last few days has gotten going here.
Yeah, three hits last night for Alec Bohm. That certainly was good to see. The two-run home run that tied it last night. Nick Maton continues to hit. That's good to see. You mentioned Brad Miller. Even Matt Joyce last night, he hit the ball hard three times. Didn't have anything to show for it. But you know, he's putting the ball in play. Andrew Knapp put the ball in play last night in an important situation. You know, the center field, you know, chasm that is existing right now. I mean, Odubel Herrera has not been able to get that position.
71.
Yeah, it's a problem for sure. But to your point, they're figuring out ways to win games that last year they would have won. I think we read a stat on the air last night that the Phillies have won three games this year where they've scored three runs or less already this year. They're 3-5 in those situations. Last year, in 23 situations, they were 3-20.
Wow.
Three runs and less. So, look, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it is showing you that they're figuring out ways to win even when the bats aren't working. And we saw that the other night with a two-run wild pitch, which is something you don't see very often. So it's got to get better. No excuses. It has to get better. But, again, you know, here we are as May begins, and they're right there at the top of the NL East, albeit one game under 500.
Now, a few minutes left here in the first segment with Murph and Chris Sack here from Green Legion Radio. And real quick before we do go into break, and we do have a live read before we go into break, so we have a couple minutes here to play with. Jose Alvarado and Dominic Smith on Friday night, I loved the bad blood. I need more of it. I'm tired of the bromance. I'm tired of the respect that goes on in sports. It's okay to have sportsmanship, but sometimes, man, I just need that little extra to push me over the edge. And really, I don't need a lot to push me over the edge with the Mets to hate them, Murph. There's a long lineage, a long history of hatred that burns deep down inside of my bones for my hatred for the Mets. But what Alvarado did the other night, and even though I still laugh at his reaction because he's talking all that smack, he's got that swag coming off the mound after he strikes him out the end of the eighth, and then that little sidestep that he takes away and he allows Andrew Knapp and the home plate umpire to get between him and Dominic Smith. I don't know if he really wanted any, but Dominic Smith was trying to bring it to him, and I'm here for it, man. Like, we need that bad blood back between the Phillies and the Mets.
Absolutely. You know, sports nowadays, and baseball certainly guilty of it, I know the other sports are as well, there's a little bit too much of the chummy chum going across the, you know, like
the bro hugs.
Yeah. If you're in another uniform, guess what? When that game is going on and an hour after or an hour before, we're not friends at that point. You want to hang out in the off season and go out and get a cocktail with a guy from another squad, fine. But, you know, I listened to guys like Larry Boa talk about when it was back in the 80s and how they hated the other teams in their division. They respected them, but they hated them. And that's the way it should be. And guess what? The Phillies and the Mets, cats and dogs. And the Phillies are the dogs, by the way.
Absolutely.
In that scenario.
100%.
But they should, there you go, they should not have any kind of love for one another. Respect and love are different. I love the hatred. I do not like the Mets, and I think sports needs more of that. And, what we saw this week at the ballpark, I was there Friday night. I was juiced up. It was fun. And when the benches cleared the second time, not a complete clear the second time, but I was there. As you said, I'm here for it. I love it. There should be more of it. The Reds and the Cubs got into it this week. I think we've seen the Cardinals get into it earlier season.
Yeah, so, with the Reds. The Reds have done it twice.
The Reds have done it twice. So, yeah, let's do it. Division rivalries should be they should be, there should be filled with animosity, and this one is, and I love it.
Animosity and hatred can build chemistry on a roster.
Absolutely,
there, Murph.
It can.
And speaking of building, MCS Construction Services is the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. They supply both resident and commercial contractors, everything to include custom cabinetry. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. Ask for your free estimate so you can get started with your MCS Construction Services experience. Perform with quality and safety. They are licensed and insured and are performing services throughout the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and even Maryland. Once again, reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. And we'll be right back with Ask the Show and Life Advice with Murph right after this.
You nailed that.
Goes. Curveball striking it out. The Phillies are National League East champions. Look at the scene on the field. Look at the scene on the stand. This is incredible. The Phillies are National League East champions and will go to a postseason for the first time since 1993.
Oh, man, I need more of that right there. Harry Callis. 2007, striking out who?
Willie Mo Pena.
Which is the answer to our trivia question. We'll have the winner of those tickets coming up in just a minute. But first, let me remind you, Bucks County Baseball Company is a proud sponsor of Baseball Brunch with Greg Murphy and Chris Sack. Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectible retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location to see their incredible selection, unique vintage sports items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. So visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA locations. The showroom is huge, the website even bigger. Check it out. Bucks County Baseball Company. Check it out now.
Awesome stuff. And hey, real quick, if you guys did hear one of the names that Harry said within that that last clip that we just played from the 2007 NL East champion Phillies clinching game, Chris Coast was a guest on Murph's podcast, Glove Stories.
That's right.
Which the episode just dropped this past Wednesday, right?
Someone else was on that program.
Yes, and somebody else was on that program, too. And I was on there. I did a five-minute hit with Murph talking about the 2021 Phillies and a few of the issues from the week that was. So if you guys want to check out that podcast, Murph, why don't you tell them where to go for that?
GloveStoriesPodcast.com. You can go online or find us on Twitter and at Glove Stories. So, yeah. Check it out. And by the way, our last two guests, Brett Myers and Chris Coase, so both those guys involved in that play. But, man, oh, man, you know, when you hear Harry make that call back in I remember exactly where I was. And I was covering the team, but I was not at that game. I remember exactly where I was when that happened. And, you know what? That's what we're looking forward. That's what we need back here in Philadelphia. Man. It's been too long. So, hey. Who's coming out on May the 4th to watch Aaron Nola and the Brewers? Do we have a winner?
We have Bruce Vail.
All right, Bruce.
Bruce, congratulations. You won the three tickets to see Aaron Nola. I bought those tickets on purpose, Murph, because I couldn't get any more tickets for the Dollar Dog Night. They had sold out. So I was like, when? I didn't want to set somebody up to see Vince Velasquez or Chase Anderson.
Oh, now, come on.
I know they won the last two games the Phillies have won, but I wanted to give somebody a chance to see Aaron Nola live and in person.
Always so, fun. Always fun.
Absolutely. Right. And so, guys, right now we're going to go to Ask the Show. And if anybody has next life question. Advice with Murph, make sure you get it in there. We have about 12 minutes here left on this segment. So make sure you guys get them in. You can keep on putting them in on the social media accounts. So put them across to Sam, and then we can get them asked to us by Kyle. So, Slash, what do you have for us today?
All right. The first one is for both of you guys. It is from Angel Martinez. How did this team come together as a whole, and how did Chris and Murph become radio partners / lifelong friends? I added that last part. Right?
Well, I was on Angel's podcast on Friday night. I did a probably about a 10 to 15 minute spot with him and his gang. And so how did we come together as a unit? Well, thankfully, I have a great leader and mentor in all of this, and Quimby.
Stop.
And no, man, I'm not just saying it because Quimby's here. Quimby has fantastic connections, and a few years ago when I got involved with Green Legion Radio, and then Quimby came to me during the offseason, and he said, how would you like to do a show with Greg Murphy? And I was like, what kind of a question is that? I would love to do a show with Greg.
Hell no.
And no, that's what Greg said, because he felt his, as my buddy Pat, who's in attendance here tonight or this afternoon, as he likes to say, I helped torpedo your career. But if anything, his career has gone nothing but up since he started doing the show with me.
That's
because
right.
Now he's no longer Philly's former broadcaster. He is Philly's broadcaster. And then the rest of the team, Jansen's been a part of 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, and then Slash as well, and Sam as our intern with Green Legion Radio. So I've been lucky enough to be blessed with a great team of individuals that have come together and become a team to create a really good show that I take pride in.
Yeah, and you know what? We don't talk about this enough, but I met Quimby way back in the day. I was working for NBC Sports Philadelphia, I believe, at the time. No, was it CN8? Yeah, I was back at CN8. This is a long time ago. And a bunch of my buddies got together, and we said, we're going to go on one of these Green Legion trips.
San Diego 2009.
And we went out to San Diego. So I was just starting at NBC Sports Philadelphia. We went out to San Diego. And we went on that first Green Legion trip, and man, oh man, did we have a good time. And I met Quimby on that trip, and I got to know him a little bit. And then we went back in 2010, I believe it was, to Chicago.
Yep.
We went as a group again. So I'm a Green Legion traveler before I was a Green Legion employee. And if you haven't done that yet, folks, you got to do it.
Me too.
It is so much fun to be a part of that. And then, obviously, like to your point, Quimby reached out this week. We've stayed in touch over the years, and he reached out to me this offseason and said, hey, what do you say? Let's get together and do the show on Sunday mornings. And I said, I'm up. Let's sign me up. Who's this sack fella? Who's this guy? And it's been awesome ever since. It's been terrific ever since. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yes, yes. And we enjoyed putting the show out. I love getting the positive feedback that we've received over the first. This is our sixth show.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's been awesome. So what else do you have, Slash?
All right, so I got one more here, and then I'll kick it to Jansen because I know he's got a couple questions.
Are we actually going to have to hear Jansen's voice on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and then I'm going to read Jansen's life advice question that he tweeted out. I think he has one before that. Another one coming here on Twitter. When Gene Segura comes back and everybody's healthy, could you see Nick Maton moving to center field?
Million-dollar question,
yeah.
Honestly. It's an interesting talk. You and I spoke about this on the show last week, Zach.
Yep.
We're speculating at this point. But it's going to be really hard for the Phillies to make a decision to send this kid down right now. He has just continued to hit. He's been one of their
and
best
he's been
offensive
feeling,
players.
He's been feeling really
his
well,
feelings
too.
He's outstanding. So I can tell you this. He has been doing some work in the outfield. He's been taking fly balls during BP. He's been working with their outfield coaches and trying to get a feel. He has said, hey, I'll play anywhere Joe Girardi wants me to play. I just want to play, which is the right attitude for a young kid. It's a lot to ask for, making his, major league debut this season. Now you're going to ask him to bounce around from position to position. However, Zach, you pointed out, and rightly so, that they're going to want him. If he's not going to be playing at the big league level, they're going to want him to get at bats and go back down to AAA and keep swinging. But if they can find him a spot, and guess what? If the center field position does not get much better, I think he probably does get at least a crack out there.
Yeah, and at this point, Murph, the way that he's hitting, he's been our hottest bat since he
really
debuted
has.
A couple weeks ago. I know Harper had stretches there, and like Harper's hitting home runs and doubles, and Hoskins gets hot too. But if you want to talk about a consistent bat in the middle or towards the end of our lineup, but a consistent bat in our lineup the last couple weeks, that's been Nick Maton.
Yeah.
And he I know when Segura does come back, and Segura was swinging a very good bat before he got hurt and it was unfortunate, and then Didi hasn't been offensively as hitting as well as we would like him to, but at this point, man, you cannot take him out of the lineup and put him back down in AAA, you have to ride the hot hand until he can no longer do what he's doing right now. And you know, finding him a place to play, whether it's in left field because McCutchen has not you know, hit his stride yet. A little bit better the last few games since they benched him on Monday and Tuesday, but he has not played to his standards or our standards as well. So you have to find a place for this kid, whether it's in center field, whether it's in left field, and you have to ride the hot hand while you can.
No, and I agree with you. And look, I said it last week. Nick Maton's job right now is to make it as difficult as he can for the Phils to send him back to AAA.
100%.
And if he gets sent down to AAA, it's not a demotion. It's because they want him to play each and every day. And if they can't find him a spot in the big leagues to do that, they will send him back down. But at this point, the Phils, you know, they're not going to lose a whole lot if they try him out there in center. Gene Segura is going to be your second baseman. Didi Gregorius is going to be your shortstop when healthy. Those two guys are going to be in the lineup, you know, 6 days a week. So if Nick Maton is going to find playing time, it's going to be in the outfield. So why not? Why not give him a shot?
What else you got there from
the
slash?
So I actually do have one more here, and then I'll kick it to Jansen. It's on Twitter, so this guy is at jjansen34. He says, "Hi, John Jansen here. I know that Vince Velasquez isn't good yet. I'm sorry, isn't good yet. I cannot give up on him. How do I move on without feeling completely heartbroken? Thanks in advance."
Jesus, I wish we had some music behind that. That was
the world's smallest violin.
Yeah,
seriously, as if this guy hasn't had enough chances.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny though, and look, I'll play the devil's advocate to the Vince. You know, let's move on from
Thank
Vince.
Thank you for once you play devil's advocate. normally I have to be that guy on this show.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate and argue for Vince, which is probably yeah. But here's the
okay.
thing.
Okay,
the thing. Right now, at the moment, he may be the fourth best starter on this team, and that's not saying that's a high bar, but. You know, you need a guy that can go out and give you five, six innings, keep your team in a game. And Vince can do that most of the time. So unless you give me a better option, and whether that option is Spencer Howard or, you know, some of the other young depth in the...
Wow.
I'm going to cry.
You asked for music.
Here's what I want to say to John, heartfelt. Hang in there, big guy. It's going to be okay. The Phils are going to find that pitching depth that you need, that we all need, and things are going to turn around for you.
Well, did you know that he's not starting on Monday night? That distinction is being given back to Matt Moore. So not only is it dollar dollar dog night on Monday night down at the ballpark between the Phillies and the Brew Crew.
Don't do it.
It's dollar meatball night as well. He's going to be serving them up all night, Murph.
I don't know.
I hope I'm wrong.
Matt Moore was a different pitcher in spring. I know it's spring training.
Yeah,
but he had better stuff in spring.
All right.
Maybe he can find that again.
God, one can only hope so, Murph.
Yep, that's what we got to do. Got to hope.
Yes, because I about had enough of watching him before he went away on the injured list, and now I got to watch him again. He's good through the first time through the lineup. And then after that, it's like, oh, well, we've seen the same slop over and over again. Let's just walk and get on base and then allow ourselves to hit a three-run home run off of him. But
he's got to figure it out. You're right.
Listen,
he's got to figure it out.
We had this question a couple weeks ago, Murph, in regards to, and I want to get to Jansen's life advice question as well. What's the most pressing issue, center field or the rotation? And I believe we both said at the time it was center field. But like Chase Anderson, he's acquitted himself pretty well.
He
gets you through five innings. So you know you're going to have to use the bullpen. But from where he falls in the rotation, it's right after Aaron Nola. So Aaron does what he's supposed to do. The bullpen should be pretty fresh when Chase Anderson gets you through his five innings the next night. But that four spot in the rotation is a real issue just as much as center field is.
It's an issue. But what you have to remember as a Phillies fan, you have to take a step back and look around the league. Find me a fourth starter that you're like, hey, I love that guy. I mean, it's pressing. A whole lot of rotations that go four and five deep with outstanding talent, okay? And, you know, well, first of all, these guys are all outstandingly talented, but in terms of a major
Correct.
League ball player.
Yes.
You know, so you just have to... You have to put it in perspective, and it would be wonderful to have four Zach Wheelers on your staff. It would be great to have two Zach Eflins and two Aaron Nolas, but no team has that. One or two teams have that kind of depth, and other than that, you know, it is what it is. So you just need Chase Anderson to go out and do what he did the other night. If he can do that, the Phillies are in good shape with Chase Anderson, and you need either Vince Velasquez or Matt Moore or Spencer Howard, whoever's going to fill that other spot, to do a similar thing more often than not. It hasn't happened yet, but it's still early.
Speaking of perspective, Jansen, what's your life advice question for Murph? Because last week, Murph guided me in the don't drink and, you know, go on Facebook and Twitter, and that helped me out over the last week, Murph, and I really appreciate that.
I'm
so
here for you.
I think Jansen is just as much of obviously he's more of a train wreck than I am. So Jansen, why don't you go ahead and ask your question to Murph?
See, I think I'm beyond life advice at this point.
I can help you, Jansen.
But no, I think, and this might end up being life advice. So, like, you had, I thought, the hardest job, and the sideline reporters, because you had to go out into the crowd, and the chances of having an awkward conversation live on air with either a random person walking through the ballpark or a celebrity that really want to be interviewed, but
moment.
You have to interview anyway because they're telling you to. What ended up being one of the most awkward moments you were a part of? And I guess life advice, how do you get out of awkward conversations? Because I start them all the time.
Oh, wow. What a great question. Now, you're putting me on the spot only because now I got to try and think of... I can remember many awkward interviews that I've had over the year. You know, it's funny because the random folks that, you know, a guy that catches a foul ball and he's holding a baby at the same time, those guys always end up being awesome. it's the ones that where he set it up ahead of time, maybe a pseudo-celebrity, like one of those B-list guys that are at the ballpark, and you have a conversation with them during the game, and it's like, oh, my God, get me out of here. Those seem to happen more often than not. So I'll tip my cap to the Phillies fans over the years that I've kind of stuck a mic in their face out of the blue. For the most part, I think they've acquitted themselves pretty well. How do you get yourself out of an awkward conversation? Go to commercial break?
I guess
that's what I always do.
I guess Jansen's never dated before. I mean, in those cases...
Or had second dates.
I mean, there's a lot of times where you have to get yourselves out of awkward situations. How the heck did I get here, and how do I get myself out of it?
Yeah, so. You know, it's a great question. I always say, we'll be back right after this, and then you're gone.
Murph is trying to do that in the middle of an inning.
Also,
the Phillies are in the middle of a rally.
Follow-up question
to that.
Sometimes
I do it when I'm just, you know, walking through the casino floor here. You know, whatever works.
Because I'm curious, is Chris Wheeler the most underrated Phillies broadcaster of all time?
Absolutely, 100%.
I thought you were, Murph.
It's known how great
second.
Murph is, yeah.
Believe me, Chris Wheeler is one of my favorite people on the planet. I've always thought that he got, he didn't get the appreciation that he deserved, Quimby, from the folks here in Philadelphia. And look, he was, you know, he's paired up with Harry, and that's a you know, difficult spot to be. Chris Wheeler is a great baseball man. We're going to get him on this show. We are going to get Wheels on
awesome.
This show. He is a great baseball mind. He's a great baseball man. And if you go back and listen to him as a broadcaster, he's an excellent broadcaster as well. So you can say what you want. And turn Quimby's mic off, please.
I had to listen to him as a member of Bluebell Country Club for 8 years. I have a different perspective.
Yeah, well, the question was broadcaster. He's an outstanding broadcaster, in my opinion.
Well, Quimby hopping back on. The Green Legion Baseball Brunch is part of the Green Legion Radio and Green Legion family. Remember, while our radio shows are growing by leaps and bounds, the bread and butter of the family is the experience you have with us when the Eagles or Phillies hit the road. We currently have a Fenway package from July 9th through the 12th on the website, and we include Las Vegas, Denver, Dallas, Atlanta, Carolina, Detroit, Washington, D.C., and even a trip to the Dominican Republic for an awesome watch party weekend, either over the bye week or in place of visiting the Giants, also on the website. So make sure you go to greenlegion.com or contact the office at 215-666-5940. That is greenlegion.com or 215-666-5940. Stay tuned. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Neck, N-E-C-K, NeckSip. Time to visit up to free up those hands and wear your drink, everyone. Wear it. Visit NeckSip.com and follow them at NeckSip. It holds any beverage, even bottles, cans, and snacks. It's COVID safe. Wearing your drink helps stop the spread of germs. This beautiful piece of mastery sits around your neck with a durable pouch and straw. Text with both hands and drink at the same time. Not you, Mr. Sack.
Nope, not at all.
Visit NeckSip.com. NeckSip.com. Customized with your team's colors. Perfect for sports events, parties, hunting, or anything you do outdoors. Philly-born and USA-made. Only $5 each. Wear your drink and free your hands. Get 15% off when you use the code GREENLEGION. Again, visit NeckSip.com and follow them at NeckSip.
Welcome back to our last segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch down here at Philly Live Casino. Sports and social, FanDuel Sportsbook here as well. We are mere footsteps away from Citizens Bank Park for tonight's rubber match, and I know Murph continues to hate hearing that rubber match on Sunday Night Baseball between your Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets, and I'm sick and tired of these New York Mets fans. They can take their belly button sweat and head back up the New Jersey Turnpike, because I no longer want to hear it. But I don't really smell any Mets fans around here. It's either Hollis or the Nachos down here, Murph.
And yeah, I was going to say, we are steps away from those Nachos that Hollis and the crew are here.
I got to wait two more hours until I can crush some Nachos, but I think that's the last thing that I need. So, all right, let's go ahead now. We're going to have our weekly picks. Major League Baseball action on Sunday. Murph was 2-1 last week, and he's riding a hot hand right now. And I continue to say bet with Murph. He's 7-4 on the season. I was 1-2. I was one run shy of a 2-1 week with bases loaded in the ninth inning, but that did not come to fruition. 3-8 on the season. Stop it.
They're playing dancing, your song, Zach.
Dancing, stop it. Man, that's like my theme song so far this year for the picks. Three betting lines on Sunday's Major League Baseball ticket that we like. Money line, run line, over, under, run totals. What do we have this week? Murph, why don't you give me your first one?
All right, so I looked at the first one. I like the Red Sox. They're down in Texas right now. Garrett Richardson versus Mike Fultonevich. I've never been a big Mike Fultonevich guy. I know he had one real good season, but for the most part, you know, I think he's got a great name, and people, they equate
Fulty.
Him. Yeah, Fulty's got the good nickname and everything. I'm not a huge fan of Fultonevich, so I like the Red Sox. This is an easy one. I'm just taking the Red Sox to win this outright today, -125, I think it was. Red Sox over the Rangers in that first game.
Be honest here, Murph. You don't like Fultonevich because you used to have to write that down constantly on a scorecard.
Can you see how I spelled it on my computer right now? It's not even close. It's Fulty and then, like, Navich. I don't know. Like,
you know how to say it, but you don't know how to spell it, which up until Kevin Franzen started doing the scorecards for you guys, that had to be difficult for you to spell.
Yeah, it was. So, it definitely was.
Well, the Red Sox, they have the best record in baseball right now, so that's a solid
can't
selection.
Believe it.
Yeah. Me neither. So I'm going to skip my first one because I know your game, your third one, ties into that. So I'm going to go on my second one. The Oakland Athletics, -220 today. Avoid the sweep at home versus the Orioles.
Yeah.
I know I took them last week, and I mushed them. I mushed them, Murph. They were going to win 14 in a row, and I took them, so they lost 8-1 against the Orioles. They're not going to lose this game. They're going to win. -220 with the A's. Add it to your ticket or go the other way and actually win some money.
I really like that pick. I think that's a solid way to think. There's no way the A's are getting swept at home by the Orioles. The Orioles have played them well, but I agree with you. I think they win that game. All right, next game for me, I'm taking an over-under on this one, all right? So the Cardinals and the Pirates are getting together. It's Carlos Martinez versus Will Crow. The over-under is 8.5 in this one. Two good pitchers, guys that have pitched pretty well this season. They don't have the records to show for it, but I'm taking the under on this one. 8.5 is the under. Give me under Cardinals Pirates. It's getaway day for both teams. I think they're both headed out on the road. Well, the Pirates are on the road at this point, but I think they're gonna be swinging on a lot of pitches in the dirt. Keep it under 8.5.
Okay. And then I have my over-under for this week is the Dodgers and the Brewers. I know Urias is pitching and for the Dodgers, and he's a very solid pitcher. But I'm going with the over here at 8.5 runs, -110, which is what you win. So if you bet 110, you'll get $100 out of that. So I'm going to take the over on that 8.5. The Brewers didn't know until yesterday or last night who their starting pitcher was going to be today. Count on the Dodgers to get the bulk and the majority of those 8.5 runs.
Johnny Holstaff pitching for the Brewers today. Yeah.
Bittinger, I believe, is who's starting. So
who's starting is the key word.
Right. Yeah, and you don't want to have that problem when you're playing the Dodgers.
I got to say, Zach, I like all three of your picks this week. So
well, I've only made two.
Well, you're right. I like
you're
I
lying.
Like,
you're lying
I like
to
my
me,
picks. I like my picks too. Yeah, good point. I like your first two picks, but you already told me your picks, so I do like your picks. Marlins Nationals. I know we're both picking this game,
yes,
right?
Yes,
see,
we
I
are.
Know your picks.
Yes.
Marlins Nationals. Scherzer versus Trevor Rogers. Rogers has pitched really well this season. His ERA is under 1.3. You know, Scherzer, I think he's 1-2, but he's been good. You know, Scherzer hasn't been Max Scherzer every time out nowadays, but he's still pretty darn good. So the over-under on this one is 7, so you think to yourself, well, you got to take the under on this one. Well, nope, I'm going the other way. I'm taking the over. It's almost too easy, I think, to take the under in this game, which makes me always think, go the opposite direction. So I'm going to go over the Marlins-Nationals game, over-under 7, Scherzer-Rogers. They're going to score some runs today. It'll be a 4-4 game at some point, and then someone's going to, you know, win it late in the game, and they'll go on the over.
All right, well, because Max Scherzer is pitching today, I'm taking the Nationals. The Nationals, I believe, are holding the longest winning streak in the division for the season.
What's that, two?
They've won 3 in a row. Won 3 in a row. Patrick Corbin pitched well on Saturday, so I'm going to take Scherzer on the hill against the Marlins. They're going to win 4 in a row, and then hopefully the Phillies can keep pace with them and stay atop National League East after tonight against the New York Mets. So those are our selections. Take them. Put them on your ticket for this week. Yep. And now we're going to go into Can You Believe It?
Oh, I can believe it, Harry.
Man, I can't. I don't think I'm going to get tired of that anytime soon.
No.
Love it. All right, so Murph, yeah. Why don't you lead off here? Why don't you give me your first Can You Believe It for this week around the league in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite segments that we do every week because so many cool things happen in the game of baseball. We say it all the time. If you come down to the ballpark, you're liable to see something you've never seen before. I saw something I never saw before this week, a wild pitch, a two-run score on a wild pitch. So I love this segment. And so go back to Wednesday night. And it was the Atlanta Braves and the Cubs playing a game. It was a lopsided game. Atlanta was all over the Cubs in this one. Freddie Freeman, last year's MVP, had 4 hits against Cubs pitching going into the last inning of this game. And then we had a position player pitching. Rizzo is on the hill for the Cubs. And what does he do? He strikes out his good buddy, Freddie Freeman, strikes him out. And after the game, you know, Freeman kind of, he joked about it. He said, look, first of all, it's hard for major league players to go against guys that are throwing,
right.
You know, the position players are throwing in the 70s or throwing knuckleballs up there. They're throwing curves. It's a difficult at bat. And he said, look, you know, we made a couple people smile out there today, and that's what sports is all about. Atlanta got the win. Freeman strikes out, one of the best hitters in baseball. So, again, it's fun, a fun moment in baseball. And Freddie Freeman gets it, which I also like.
Frederick. Yeah, I love that moment too. And I know we were talking earlier about hatred, but I can totally dig on having
that's
that
the respect part of it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And it's not between division rivals. So,
right.
My Can You Believe It? My first one for this week is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on Tuesday night became the youngest player in Major League Baseball history to hit 3 home runs and have 7 RBI in the same game. And he's been swinging a red hot bat, and he's been dragging that Blue Jays lineup. I know they're hovering around 500, and I believe we both took them to be playoff teams this year. But that offense eventually is going to get going. But Vladimir Jr., man, he's just carrying them right now.
Yeah, and you know, he was a guy that they were a little worried about last year just because of his weight. You know, they needed him to get back in shape and get back to doing what he was doing. But it's a good one. All right, we talked about this before, but the New York Mets and their fans frustrated again Wednesday night. DeGrom was brilliant in his outing, and once again, they end up losing a game 1-0 that Jacob DeGrom pitched. It's unbelievable. He struck out 9. He has 59 strikeouts on the season, and he lost to our buddy, Nick Pivetta, who started on the opposite side for the Red Sox. Yeah, he only went 5, but the bullpen was good for the Red Sox as well. And once again, the New York Mets lose a game that DeGrom started. You think we got it bad here in Philly? That guy is the best pitcher in baseball, and they can't get him wins. It's unbelievable.
Another nugget for you, piggybacking off of that, is Nolan Ryan. He tied Nolan Ryan for the most strikeouts through 5 starts in a season.
That's right.
59.
Yep, 59.
Speaking of strikeouts, Clayton Kershaw went 7-plus innings pitch, allowing 0 runs for the 55th time in his career. That's the 3rd most in the wild card era. Randy Johnson, 57. Tim Hudson, 56. Every time Clayton Kershaw takes the mound, you're seeing something special.
Yeah, you know what? He's must-watch TV. He always has been. He's getting older, but he still is an outstanding pitcher. You talk about a one rotation that's got some depth, 1-5. Okay, I'll give you the Dodgers.
Right.
They have it 1-5.
I think
5.
They're 1-7.
Yeah, they might be.
Well, we're wrapping up here with Bud Light Baseball Brunch on another beautiful Sunday down here in the Delaware Valley at Philly Live Casino. For Greg Murphy and / and Sam Ross with like a 3-1 pitch. I'm Chris Sack, and we are out of here.